Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. How fitting is it to start November with the spotlight on Betty White, who at 99 holds the crown of television's Grand Dame? Her pioneering TV existence is the focus of a new book, Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments and Extraordinary Life, coming out next month. Author Ray Richmond joins me next. HBCU Go.TV, offering the world of historically black college and universities 24/7 through smart TV products, gained a new ally last week, Byron Allen's Media Empire. We'll learn why and what's in HBCU's Go.TV future next half hour with Chief Executive Curtis Simons. Also ahead, Bravo's next source of Real Housewives, Apple TV Plus's next roadshow, our new classic trivia question, and celebrating unscripted TV director Arthur Forrest and announcer late show sidekick Alan Coulter. Two very special, unique careers in television. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Verbal, Reason, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details on that later in our program. We welcome you on this 1st of November to the program all about TV's current and future. 58 degrees at the top of the hour, and we invite you to be with us all month long because this is going to be a very special month for television all over the place. A lot of very interesting projects are premiering this month. Big holiday movie season with a lot of originals all over the place with some new networks joining in for the first time. And we're going to try to cover as much of this November world of TV as we possibly can, starting today. If you have a question or comment for our guests in the next hour and change, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tuner Radio. Chat about the phone, no problem. Use our chat room. It's open for you right now. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, tune in screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Ray Richmond, the author of the brand new book, Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life, joins me live from L.A. after these news notes. For those of you wondering if Bravo would ever find Real Housewives outside our 50-state nation, your wait is almost over. Earlier today, Bravo approved a new round of Real episodes in Dubai, part of the United Arab Emirates. This will be the 11th location with a Real Housewives series to its name. Bravo anticipates premiering Dubai episodes next year. Another winner of TV developments today were a pair of Levy clan members, Eugene and Daniel. Eugene will host and executive produce The Reluctant Traveler, a world-spanning series on Apple TV+. Eugene's mission, explore life in and around the world's best hotels. Meantime, Daniel will carry out his own mission for new HBO Max series, The Big Brunch. What's that? Have rising culinary voices compete to create the next fast food or great food venue. Both shows will premiere on their respective networks next year. Now, quickies, more HBO Max news. Oprah Winfrey Network will make Max the second window for season 2 of its Peabody-winning drama, David Makes Man. Roku will run its holiday movie take of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist on December 1st. ABC will give new workplace sitcom Abbott Elementary, scheduled to debut January 4th, an early anticipated head start. Episode 1 of this public school set program goes on December 7th. And Latino family saga Promised Land and long-promised miniseries Women of the Movement also have January launched on ABC. Women of the Movement will begin on January 6th, followed by Promised Land January 24th. And that is news notes for today. Next month, my first guest will come out with his latest book. It's a book about one of the most amazing talents on or off camera in the world of television, Betty White. She's 99 now, and next January she turns the great 100. And what a career she has had in an amazing bunch of venues. Everyone from hosting her own variety show to pioneering sketch comedy in the 1950s to her own supporting roles and leading roles in various situation comedies. And yes, even hosting shows, including her own game show, which she won an Emmy Award for called Just Men. We're going to talk about all of that through the book that our guest has written. It's called Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life. And by the way, my guest is someone extraordinary. He's one of the top people who cover television and entertainment for a living. He did it for many years as a reporter and columnist with The Hollywood Reporter, Los Angeles Times, other newspapers and publications. He's also a contributor to one of the best websites covering the world of entertainment now, Deadline Hollywood Daily. It's a pleasure to welcome this phone for the very first time. Joining us live from Los Angeles, Ray Richmond. Ray, a pleasure to have you aboard.
It's a pleasure to be here, Simon. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure and my honor. Ray, how long have you been thinking about doing a book about a talent like Betty White?
Well, to tell you the truth, you know, I've always been a great admirer of Betty's, but it wasn't something that I came up with myself. They had Quarto Books, the publisher, had been looking to honor her, knowing that Betty's 100th birthday was coming up and wanting something that would, you know, that would be that would honor her in a way that was up to the standard of the woman's eminence, if you will. And they sought me out after you know, there was a referral to them that I would be a great person to document this woman's life in 100 great moments or events. And it was an honor, quite frankly, for me to be able to be the, you know, kind of the person documenting all of this. Because if you ask me, there's never been a greater entertainer, a more versatile entertainer than Betty White. And the fact that she's coming up on her 100th birthday is just, you know, is really the cherry atop the sundae of this woman's amazing life. And, you know, she's there's no one – I found so many remarkable things about her, but specifically, number one, is that no one has a negative or bad story about her. She is just a beloved figure at a level that no one has ever really had before in entertainment that I have found.
The thing about White's career that I think is most fascinating is that in many ways she pioneered a lot of the things she did. She was one in the 1950s, when television was still a fairly new medium, she was one of the first to do daytime variety programming. She was one of the first to do sketch comedy with a program called Life with Elizabeth. She was one of the first headliners of a women of a comedy series along with Lucille Ball and Spring Breton and others. And the fact of the matter is her career just kept expanding into all sorts of directions, from game show participation and ultimately hosting to hosting reality shows like Pet Set, showcasing her love for animals. It seemed that ultimately a lot of ways that she could expand her career, she did.
Oh, she did everything. She did a soap opera later on, The Bold and the Beautiful. She did. She was on, you know, episodes of drama series. She had basically one of the greatest runs of her career was in her 90s when most other people are either dead or in a rocking chair and packing it in and calling it a life. She's and when you say that she was a pioneer, Simon, you have no idea exactly how true that is. Her face was literally the first face that graced a television screen in 1939. In February of 39, she had just graduated from Beverly Hills High School, and they did an experimental transmission at a Packard auto dealership in downtown Los Angeles, trying to see if they could make pictures and sound move from one screen to the next, from the sixth floor of the building to the first floor. And she and the student body president of Beverly Hills High School did a performance of the Merry Widow operetta on screen, and it was a successful transmission, February of 39. 2 months later, television debuted at the New York World's Fair via RCA and NBC, the first real live transmissions. So she was literally the first face anyone had ever seen on a television screen, besides the fact that everyone talks about, sitcoms. Well, that has to be I Love Lucy was the first, or the Goldbergs. No, she was really one of the first with Life with Elizabeth, and even predated that in 1949 with a local show called Hollywood on Television, which showed her improvising for 5.5 hours a day on a local TV station, doing advertisements on the fly, doing everything, no scripting, all vamping. You know, the woman was phenomenal. And this was while she was in her 20s and just making it up as she went along.
Mm-hmm. And when Live with Elizabeth came on, which originally was a local show, I believe it was on KTLA in Los Angeles, and then was transferred to film for a national run, this was from 1952 to 1955, nobody had ever seen a comedy like this because it really was a sketch comedy. It was divided into what they called incidents, three of them usually per episode, with White joined by Del Moore, who was a film actor as well as a TV actor, did a lot of sitcom work, a lot of, you know, supporting work. And there was a guiding force at that time in White's career, a man named Don Federson, who was turned out to be one of TV's best producers, and a writer named George Tibbles, who actually was involved for a long time in White's career.
Exactly right, Simon. They did a originally Life with Elizabeth was a local show. It went out live from the Music Hall Theater in Beverly Hills. And those shows, sadly, are because they didn't actually film them, are all lost. But from 1953 to 55, it was syndicated, and with Betty playing a sassy housewife via incidents with Delmore. You know, people would look at it today and think, oh, wow, well, that was sure sexist. But, you know, at the time, that just wasn't in the vocabulary. But I'll tell you what, she also produced the show. She was behind the scenes before anyone even was talking about things like glass ceilings. She had broken through them before the ceiling had even been erected, and was just a beloved figure at the time. Everyone loved her. She was just incredibly versatile. She just threw herself into it, into everything. She didn't think about, oh, I can't sing, oh, I can't do comedy. She just did it, you know, and that's really kind of instructive for all of us. For all the people in entertainment today who are also limited about what they can do, Betty never met a challenge that she couldn't embrace and triumph over.
You're hearing Ray Richmond. He is the celebrated entertainment and TV reporter and columnist, and his latest book is Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life. The book comes out on December 7th, but you can order copies now through Amazon.com and other web locations. And next Monday, we will be offering a copy of that book as a prize in our ongoing classic trivia segment. So stay tuned for that. And by the way, we have a new classic trivia question coming your way later in the program before the top of the hour. If you get it right, you win another prize, which we will showcase at that time. Ray joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott with you from the other side of the U.S. of A., namely New York, where it's 58 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Ray, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next episode is Friday. And speaking of shows that are being revived, rebooted, et cetera, well, another one is about to be revived by Lifetime as a series of made-for-TV movies. It's Highway to Heaven, the famous Michael Landon classic. And we'll be talking with the executive producer and co-writer of the first movie in the series, which stars Jill Scott, by the way, in the Michael Landon role. If you don't know who Jill Scott is, wonderful singer, wonderful actress. If you see the Nationwide Insurance commercials, that's her singing. We'll have the co-writer and executive producer of this new made-for-TV movie series on Lifetime, Catherine Humphreys, and co-writer Angelica, Sherry. By the way, the first movie in the series premieres next Saturday night on Lifetime, and we'll have both of these two talents together with us as our lead guest on Friday. Also, Supergirl is nearing the end of its run on the CW, first before that on CBS. We'll speak of one of the co-stars who has, before the series wraps up, put together a new chapter in her life, something that has never been done before, on that series or other series from its guiding executive producing force, Greg Berlanti. Co-star Aziz Tesfaye will be with us, too. That's all coming up Friday, 3:10 Eastern Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Ray, of all the things you learned about Betty White's career, what for you was the most surprising or the most unexpected?
I think that the fact that she was in such control of her career from the get-go, Simon, that she didn't just flip from one thing to the next. She was in charge and in control, and there was almost a strategy to it where, you know, she started off doing variety and then doing live programming, and then she decided, you know, well, I really need, if I'm going to be part of this industry and part of television, I need to really hone my comedy chops. And right around that time was when the Mary Tyler Moore Show came into her life, and Sue Ann Nivens was, she joined the show in season 4 and really revitalized a show that had already started to lose a little something. It started off with it, you know, like gangbusters, but it needed what Betty brought to the show, which was a renewed zest with her character. But every step along the way, there seems to have been a loose strategy to everything she did, whether it be comedy, whether it be game shows, you know, when she was away from comedy shows, she kept her face and her name in front of the public, which was, and people then remembered and kept hiring her by being on game shows. And there's no one that did more game shows than her. 75 different shows, versions of, you know, What's My Line, To Tell the Truth, Tattle Tales, Match Games. She just did everything. She was considered, and to this day is considered, the greatest and most versatile contestant in game show history. And which is not, you know, she even met the husband. You know, she was married 3 times, but the husband that meant the most to her was Alan Ludden, the host of Password. She even met her husband on a game show. So, you know, she didn't, Betty didn't have, didn't think, oh, I'm too good, I need to be in the movies. My name is, you know, she was never too good for any genre. She was always just, she just winged it, you know, and went with the flow, whether it be game shows, whether it be drama, whether it be sitcoms. And almost no one you can name has ever done, has ever been a regular on 3 classic comedies. But she did the Mary Tyler Moore Show, The Golden Girls, and Hot in Cleveland, which people don't think about as being a classic show on TV land. But it was a classic in its own right and lasted 6 seasons and kept her on the map into her 90s. Who continues to work and be a name and be so versatile and have boundless energy into their 90s? She's the only one I can think of.
Yeah. And incidentally, Hot in Cleveland was one of the first cable series through TV Land that was syndicated to broadcast stations. So that boosted her career also, too, and boosted the
exactly
stage of the
right.
show.
Exactly right.
Password, and because, in a way, Betty White being on Password and meeting Al Lund, the host, who I still think is the best game show host ever, was very special.
No,
because
no doubt
Password
he was.
Itself was a revolutionary show. It was one of the first game shows where you had celebrities pitted with contestants, which are the first bonus round. And one of the things that, if you pay attention to Password, you can catch the nighttime shows, by the way, on YouTube, is that because of her relationship with Alan Ludden, I believe they did dinner theater together. So that was another way that Betty White was able to beef up her acting chops.
Yes, they did do dinner theater together. And, in fact, that was part of how Alan, you know, wooed Betty. It's a wonderful story in itself how he did woo her and how she finally said yes. You know, she'd had 2 failed marriages early on and just thought, you know what, maybe I'm not the marrying kind, and decided she was just going to devote all her energy to career and forget about the husband and children thing. But Alan met her on Password and would not take no for an answer, proposed to her. She turned him down for months. He wore the engagement ring around his neck for months and said, you know what, I'm going to wear this ring until you say yes. And she finally said yes. But yes, getting back to Password itself, Alan Ludden was no doubt, you know, the greatest game show host in television history, although I'm also partial to Bill Cohen. But yes, Alan Ludden.
Me too. Me too also. I put him on the pedestal.
Yeah, no question, you know. It was one of the great thrills of my life to interview Bill Cohen at his house for a story I did. I hadn't realized that he was disabled. That's how well they hit it on camera. But Alan, you know, yeah, he wouldn't take no for an answer. And it was so cute to watch Betty constantly as a contestant on Password while they were married, while Alan was hosting it. And they'd be kind of working out some of their marital issues on camera. It was just, it was wonderful and very sweet. You know, Betty's, when you think of her, you just think of someone who's pure joy, and that is also what endears her to people and what's magnetic about her. People are drawn to her, and that's why, you know, it's one of the great Hollywood events is this lead up to her 100th birthday, because it's like an event in itself. People have been holding their breath the last few years. Oh my God! I sure wish Betty will live to 100. If anyone should be with us that way. We can't imagine Betty being away. We can't imagine her leaving us, you know, during COVID, during such a challenging time. You know, she's been a constant, and people are like, you know, every day that this woman continues to walk the earth and breathe, I breathe a sigh myself, and I think America does too.
Yeah. One other thing about Betty White that makes her career remarkable is that even though she achieved success in prime time at numerous points in her career, she never forgot her daytime roots. She kept going back to it, either as a contestant on game shows or doing, as I mentioned, Just Men, which was she became the first female to win an Emmy for being a game show host. And she was quite good at it. It was amazing to me that after Just Men's existence, which was only for like 6 months or so on NBC, that she wasn't asked to do more because it was very clear that she had control of the game. She had great rapport with both the contestants and the celebrities. Again, that she had the experience, the chops to make it work.
Absolutely, Simon. You know, the thing is, Just Men was not necessarily a great concept. The greatest part about it was that Betty was so in charge and had so much fun with it and was such a, you know, such a charismatic personality on the air. But yes, there was no snobbishness. There, I mean, I speak about her in the past tense. She's still with us. There is no snobbishness to Betty. She works daytime. She works nighttime. She did a soap opera. She did she would be a almost a sight gag doing dramas, you know, or doing fun stuff for, you know, David Kelly shows like Ally McBeal and The Practice and Boston Legal. She she's kind of America's mascot, but again, yeah, she has not an ounce of snobbishness in her. She did the game shows. She did the soap opera. She would do anything, and she was up for anything. You know, the things that David Kelly made this woman say, you know, through the various characters. Oh my God, you're just like, she just so went against type, you know, as being this all American, sweet, pure apple pie in the flag Americana woman. And you know what people would tell you that know her behind the scenes also, Simon, is she actually is very saucy and can swear like a sailor with the best of them. She wasn't really nearly as pure and innocent as she comes across. And that, I think, speaks to her level of talent as well, because we look at her and we just think, well, this has to be the woman. But no, putting on an act to some degree when she performs as this sweet, sweet lad, this sweet old lady. You know, she went on the Comedy Central roast of William Shatner, and she was as saucy and foul-mouthed as anybody on that show. And, you know, if you YouTube that and look at what Betty was saying, it would curl your hair to the kinds of things she was saying. And, you know, and that's just wonderful. And that's what people love about her, is that she's always surprising us.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what made the Happy Homemaker character, Suzanne Nivens, so, I think, endearing to a lot of people and so funny, was that you saw both sides of Betty White. You saw the sweet side that she was portraying on camera, and then off camera, the very saucy, get out of my way kind of person.
Absolutely. And that was also the genius of having her play Rose Nyland instead of Blanche DuBois on the Golden Girls, because, you know, they originally had her in to be Blanche because, of course, you know, everybody remembered Sue Ann, and she was coming in and doing her, you know, her lusty man-chasing routine. But, you know, it was a twist of fate. They said, you know what, let's try Rue McClanahan as the man-chaser, and let's try Betty as Rose, who is this naive innocent. And Betty originally told them when they were casting, they're like, I can't do this. I can't do Rose. And they're like, you know what? You're Betty White. We feel like you can do anything. And she did. And it just turned out to be another amazing portrayal for her. And, you know, if anything, the Golden Girls will live on even to an even greater degree than the Mary Tyler Moore character she had.
We have a few more minutes with Ray Richmond, the author of the upcoming book, Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life, comes out December 7th. You can pre-order your copy now with Amazon.com and other websites as well. If you have a question or comment for Ray, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up our next half hour, our new classic trivia question, which is the Betty White question. So if you first put the correct answer, you will win a nice prize as well. And starting next week, next Monday, we'll offer Ray's book as a trivia prize, too, as well. Ray, before you go, I wanted to ask your thoughts, apart from Betty White. You've been covering television for a way long time. Did you ever think that we would be at a point where broadcast television would be considered a third or fourth class citizen, and that what's making television go is smart TV sets and smart TV devices and all the different services you can get through them, from Netflix to Paramount Plus to Canela Music and on and on and on.
Never in a million years did I think that this would happen, Simon. And, you know, yeah, the networks now, you know, when I started covering television, it was, you know, NBC, CBS, ABC. There wasn't even a Fox, much less cable, you know, back in the early 80s. And the thing with TV now is, you know, it's all about convenience. It's all about streaming now. You see the same thing with the feature film industry, you know, and the unfortunate dying of movie houses and the movie theater business. You know, everything is just about pushing a button and being able to watch it at home on your big screen and not having to move a muscle. That's the, you know, to some degree, if we extrapolate, we can see that's also the reason behind the insane success of Amazon. Convenience, convenience, convenience. No one has ever lost a dime betting on the love, you know, the American consumer's love of convenience. And nowhere is that truer than television, you know, where you know, I can so clearly remember the promotion of the new primetime lineups every year, every September, when it was a big deal, you know, oh my God, it's premiere week and everybody's got their new shows. And now that's completely antiquated. It's gone. Now it's, you know, the networks basically have maybe a quarter of the viewing, maybe less than that, and it's just the way it's going to be. I still remember going to drive-ins and seeing, when I was a little kid, seeing promotions of, you know, stop pay TV with a skull and crossbones. Like, the networks knew that they were going to be increasingly obsolete if they allowed this kind of pay monster to come in. But you know what? It was inevitable, and people love choice. They love choice. They love convenience, and that's what the networks are fighting every day now.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, by the way, when Betty White turns 100, and hopefully goes beyond that, maybe a Netflix, a Hulu, an Amazon, or somebody, or a Paramount Plus, or an HBO Max, whatever, will offer a role. Wouldn't that be interesting? Sort of a final notch in the career of an extraordinary person. And before you go, Bill, you mentioned Bill Cullen. Somebody needs to do a book about him and to cover his life, because he was, along with Alan Lund, one of the best game shows ever, one of the few game shows that the contestants were referred to by name, and it's a shock and really a tragedy that Bill Cullen has not gotten a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Academy of TV Arts and Sciences. Stop that and give that man posthumously a Lifetime Achievement Award. He was one of the greats on radio and television too, by the way. So personal thought. So maybe, Ray, that will give you an idea for your next book.
Nothing would give me more pleasure than to do a book, some kind of bio that honors Bill Cullen. He's been completely, shamefully lost to history. And, you know, he had an amazing personal story of overcoming his own adversity to thrive.
Absolutely. Again, the book is Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life. The book comes out December 7th, and again, you can order it through Amazon.com. You can order it through other websites as well. And don't forget, a week from today, we'll offer a copy of the book as a prize in our ongoing classic trivia segment. I promise you, it is a great, great read and a tribute to one of the really great, fantastic talents in the history of this medium. And still with us at age 99 and hopefully 100 next January and beyond. Ray Richmond, thank you again for joining us. I'd love to have you back next month to talk about television in general, because you're one of the best covering the medium and entertainment in general, and it'd be a pleasure to have you on. So you are welcome back next month to join us again.
I would love to be anytime you want me. I'm there. Thank you, Simon. Thank you so much for this opportunity today.
You're very welcome, Ray. All the greatest. Enjoy the week ahead. Take care.
You too, sir. Thanks again.
Ray Richmond, the author of Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life, joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, a big deal last week, HBCUGO.TV becomes part of Brian Allen's media empire. You will meet with the chief executive, Curtis Simons, of that venture. He'll join us live in the next half hour, plus classic trivia of the question of the week, too. It's all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, spreaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, it's one of BTR's best, the Key of D Unplugged Show. Check it out. It's music, entertainment, and a whole lot more. The Key of D Unplugged Show, one of BTR's longest-running programs, and you catch it tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget Best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this first day of November 2021. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, 50 degrees top of the hour. And coming up shortly, we'll hear about one of the big deals of last week, Allen Media Group, Byron Allen's Media Empire, buying up one of the most interesting programming services around on smart TV sets and smart devices, HBCUGO.TV, with its chief executive, Curtis Simons. We'll get to him. He'll join us live from Chantilly, Virginia. But first, let's hear some news and some words from the fine folks at our sponsor, Audible.com. John Grisham is a brand-new courtroom drama for you. It's called The Judge's List. You can hear it right now. You have a trial run with Audible.com. Hey, have you heard that Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment information inspiration? Well, you should. And here's the best deal. They've got over 250,000 titles to choose from. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and our various podcast affiliates. What you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. Get one free audiobook, 1 month trial of the service, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and while the supply lasts, health and wealth information that make a big difference to you or someone you love. And if you're already an Amazon Prime customer, you got a big deal. Two audiobooks for the trial of one. One of those coming from the great catalog and fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio series and podcast productions, best of Broadway or Broadway and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man shows. So how about making today the day in advance of the holidays? You find out how Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you know hears the world. Makes a great gift with this holiday season coming up. So what you got to do, go to audibletrial.com/televised. One of the big programming deals last week happened with a service that we covered in this program several years ago. One of the first services that we covered that goes through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. It's called HBCUGO.TV. And it's all about what's taking place at the more than 100 historically black colleges and universities. What happened last week? Byron Allen, who is forming Fast and Furious, an incredible media empire, bought that service. And joining us live to talk about it and what the impact this deal has is the person that co-founded and serves as the service's chief executive. He's also a former media executive with BET and ESPN. I've known him for years. Joining us live from Chantilly, Virginia, in an interradio exclusive and one of the first interviews done since the deal broke last week, Curtis Simons. Curtis, congratulations, and happy to have you on the program.
Simon, it's always a pleasure, man. And, you know, having you do your investigation work as you always do, you're always on top of things. That's why I really appreciate it.
You are very, very welcome. Curtis, what does Byron Allen and what he's causing impact your service? What is he bringing to what you're doing? How will your service benefit?
He brings a lot of impact to our service. HBCU Go, who we've been working on this, as you know, for over 11 years, now has the opportunity to be behind a good resource of Allen Media that has all kind of different outlets to be able to help us grow our business. And number one, the biggest one that, you know, as you've been around the business long enough, is distribution. And being a digital platform, that's very important, you know, because distribution is the key as far as who is watching and how many homes you can get by in the whole nine yards. So he has opened those doors up by coming on with Allen Media. He has now, as you've been reading about, as his audience is knowing about, is creating more and more platforms like Local Now out of Weather Channel. He also created a Fast TV channel platform, and now he's also got a sports.tv platform that HBCU Go will have an opportunity to be on. So that distribution animal is going to be big for us, you know, as a big resource that can help us grow. We're already on Roku and Amazon Fire Stick, but by getting these additional platforms really opens up our doors now to be able to talk a lot better to the advertising community around the digital platforms and everybody else. So it's a big coup for us, in my opinion.
How soon will Allen put you on Local Now, which is his multi-channel TV bundle? Will he take some of your programs and put them on the Griot.TV? What about putting your service on his cable channel bundle, which includes the Weather Channel, Cars.TV, ESTV, Recipe.TV, et cetera, et cetera? Do we know when that's going to happen or how soon?
I think a lot of that, we're working on all of that configuration right now, Simon, as we speak. You know, I think what his goal is to try to get us up on local now, possibly by first quarter, working on getting on Fast TV around that same time, and also Sports TV. So really the first quarter going into the second quarter, I think you'll see some movement at HBCU Go TV along with working with the Griot. I think the synergy that's going to pop between the Griot TV and the Griot itself with HCU Go is going to be very, very synergized, because we're going to be able to bring like a video side to the Griot to help promote, put some of their programming on, where they're also going to be able to bring more of the social media side to us and helping to promote HBCU Go .TV and some of the good things that we're doing in programming, that now we have a vehicle to really help really pump this stuff out and get the word out about what we're doing. So I think that you should look between the first quarter and the beginning of the second quarter to see some of that movement.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned distribution. That's one part of the game. Another is original programming. And certainly the contacts that you have with more than 100 historically black college universities, some of whom have wonderful TV programming resources, I would think captivated Byron to make the deal. The other thing is, too, is that Byron is also trying to do more original programming with the Griot.TV. We've heard that he might want to do scripted television for local now. So one would think that perhaps, you could get more original programming, including scripted television, inscripted and unscripted, for your service. At the same time, the black colleges and universities that you deal with could become production centers for many of Alan's different television services.
I think you're right on point, Simon. You're so smart on knowing what our direction is going to be. One of the things that we've been working on at HBCU Go TV with the 105 historical black college university is making them content providers. And what do I mean by that? What I really mean by that is that what we want them to do is assist us in creating content from the different universities, from a lifestyle to educational to sports to all kind of programming that we think reaches that audience. I think that it also opens up the door. If we can create some original programming, we also have a very good opportunity to create a syndicating arm off of it, where we can take that programming and get it out in some of our broadcast channels and others that I think will really drive the content level that you're talking about. So it definitely opens up the wing of providing more content as we grow.
When did he enter the picture as a partner? Distribution, advertising, et cetera.
Byron, he's been watching me over the years, and we've known each other from my BET life. And so we kind of, you know, when I first jumped into it, he kind of talked to me about it, and we kind of had some conversations on it. And then, you know, over the last year or so with HBCU really starting to get more and more awareness, unfortunately, on the behalf of the George Floyd situation, we're beginning to start getting more recognition as far as the value of historical black college and university, it became more pertinent that more support needed to be thrown this way. So we started really kind of talking about a year on how could we pull things together. And I think the biggest thing for me that I saw out of it is that I wanted to show the world that two African-Americans could work together and build something. And that was one thing that intrigued me, because I was watching how he was building, you know, Allen Media, and it reminded me so much of the model that Bob built with BET that I said, look, for my second go-round, if I could tie in with a gentleman like Byron and the way he thinks in his vision, I think it's the right fit for HBCU Go.TV. So as to your point earlier, as we started talking about figuring out ways that we could assist each other, you know, we talked about the Griot, we talked about Local Now, we talked about Fast TV, we talked about Sports TV. There was different ways in which we saw the legs that could be developed from this that could provide, A, more content to the total Allen Media picture, and, B, offer an opportunity for us to really grow as a true platform. So I think the marriage was very good, and I'm very happy behind it, because I think the big thing that I'm excited about is he believes in what we're doing very strongly, and he wants to build some life into the HBCU schools who need it very badly.
Curtis Simons is the co-founder and chief executive of HBCUGo.TV. It is the service that's available on smart TV sets and smart devices that showcases what's going on and what's being produced at the more than 100 historically black colleges and universities all over the U.S. of A. And now that service is part of Byron Allen's Allen Media Group. Curtis joins us live from Chantilly, Virginia this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Glad you're with us on this first Monday and first day of November 2021. Hope you had a great Halloween weekend, spent it great with the people you love, and happy you're joining us for the program about TV's current and future. Right now, 58 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. If you have a question or comment for Curtis, don't be shy. Make your move and call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up Friday on this very program, we will have two of the key people behind Lifetime's new Highway to Heaven made-for-TV movies, based on the famous Michael Landon series from the 80s with Jill Scott, the award-winning actress and singer in the Michael Landon role, as an angel trying to do her thing for people all over the U.S. of A. We'll have executive producer and co-writer of the first episode, Kathleen Humphreys, and co-writer Angelica Cherry. Highway to Heaven starts its multi-made-for-TV movie episode run a week from yesterday. That's a week from Saturday, I should say, this coming Saturday, at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime. Also, we'll focus on the closing of Supergirl after a great multi-season run on first CBS and the CW with co-star Azee Tesfaye. Azee was able, in the final segment of this series, to do something that had never been done before with any actress or actor dealing with executive producer Greg Berlanti, and it could be a new element of her career. You'll hear all about that and more Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Be with us. I think you'll really enjoy what you hear. Curtis, you mentioned that Byron Allen is now interested in two developing areas of television. One is these fast ad-supported networks, and the other is sports television. What has he told you about how he wants to be part of those areas of TV?
Well, I think for HBCUs, what they've been known for is black college sports. So that was one thing that has really always intrigued Byron about the idea of HBCUGo.TV, was the sports side of it. So it's a perfect fit for sports.tv because, you know, the one thing that Byron's preaching now is that people love is sports, number one, and it's a free channel. It's an app. You know, so if we could provide content on that, you know, that people would really enjoy, he thinks it's a natural. So we think that, you know, having a platform like that to be able to open our door that we're growing in the sports area is just a natural. You know, so we're really excited about it. And on the fast TV side, you know, it's just about, you know, we think that's, you know, according to his thinking and my thinking, we agree that fast TV is a great opportunity for HBCUGo.TV. You know, Janice Arroyo and her team have really been growing the distribution on fast TV. And we think that it's a natural fit for what he's doing with that platform. So we think altogether, as we grow, these are two natural fits along with, you know, coming in with Local Now, you know, and doing the programming with Local Now, you know, because, again, it's good platforms that make sense in the Allen Media family.
Mm-hmm. How has your service evolved over the past year? We haven't heard much about the program that's on there. How has the service gone beyond just black college sports to showcase more of the life and existence of these institutions?
Well, one of the things that's also big that we need to help on is, and that to your point, that's a very good point you're making, you know, Simon, is that we haven't done a good job marketing the network. We just didn't have the money to get out there and really push the network, even though we still have social media out there. It still wasn't enough as a new network to really support some of the content. We've been growing over the years a pretty nice little platform of content. But the problem is we haven't marketed well. So like you're saying, a lot of people did not know what HBCUGo was doing. And so that's one of the big animals that Byron brings to the table is helping us market this thing better through the Creole, through his marketing department, and social media, and other ways in which PR, other ways that we can now start getting more recognition for some of the good stuff. For example, we just had a big show the other day with Bobby Brown, And we talked about him and his new wife, talked about his daughter and the fact of, just abuse and going through that and explaining how he missed the needle. I mean, that was exclusive of Bobby Brown, you know, that no one really had yet, you know, that ran on HBCU Go, you know. And so we're going to replay it because we kind of came in on the last end to really promote it. But now, you know, we'll have some bigger animals to put it out there, you know. And then we have another show that I'm very excited about that we have called What's Next with Charlie Neal. And Charlie's a former broadcaster, sports broadcaster for BT, and he does a lot of work with ESPN now too. But we've got some great interviews as Charlie done one-on-one with not just sports folks, but really a lot of different people who have either gone to HBCUs and are doing well, or either touching HBCUs and trying to do more for HBCUs. So as we continue to try to plot this stuff out, that's the kind of avenue that we're trying to go, along with bringing more to Gen Z, the programming to the table that the students were looking for. So that's one of the beauties that we're now trying to do, is get more and more students involved in our programming, because we really want them on, you know, what they're doing out there, so they can educate more people on the value, the history, and legacy of these universities.
Mm-hmm. Earlier this year, Byron did a very unusual upfront event, a two-day event, virtual event, where he was providing a showcase for African-American-owned media and basically coming out with the message that, hey, advertising community, it's time for you to step up to the plate, and if you're not heavily involved or at least devoting a good chunk of your budget, whether an individual advertiser or an agency, to African-American-owned media, as well as media that runs networks like Viacom, CBS with BET and BET Plus and so on, it's time to do it. How has that campaign affected your service or that effort?
It's definitely opening up the doors because of that. You know, but one thing that I like about Byron is that he speaks his mind, and he's not afraid to talk to anybody, nor will he back down from anybody. And I think that he's really bringing the realization of where the advertising community really stands. And it's been that way for a long time. And so he's just continuously driving the nail that, hey, listen, you know, it's time for you people to wake up and start spending more money with black-owned businesses. And I think that Allen Media is starting to get a fresh breath of air from that, and certainly carrying over to HBCU Go now, because more and more advertisers want to touch that HBCU circle. I mean, you look at, you know, what ESPN's doing by them pushing black college sports more on ESPN now and picking up sponsors who they didn't have before, spending some more money. So it's kind of floating over our way that we're getting ready to now that we have a team throughout Allen Media to be able to really sell HBCU Go for us. I think it's going to open up a lot of doors for us down the road.
Are there one or two historically black colleges, universities that have really impressed you with how they're either getting into television production or utilizing talent that wants to be in the medium, or they're watch out, they're on the radar, they're not on the radar screen yet, but we all should pay attention to them because they will be on the radar screen at some point, and they've got some wonderful talent to keep an eye out for that could make their mark nationally.
Yes, I think one of the big ones that I want to talk about is Tennessee State out of Nashville, Tennessee. We've built a relationship over the last 3 years, and it really they are our model school of how we're trying to get all the rest of the HBCUs to do work with us. We went straight to the president of Tennessee State, Dr. Glover. She bought in on the concept, and we have really been able to now, through the communication department, Joel Ritchie and Ms. Russell, we've been able to create through them content for the network. They're doing a lot of stuff in getting their journalism classes, their communication class, their marketing class, all involved with HBCU Go TV. And we created a show called Master Class, where we bring in notable names. Like two people off the top of my head was James Brown from CBS, spoke to the students. And what we're doing is, in this master class, we're inviting other universities to come in on it, to listen, to help these young people understand where they can go in this business. We also had like someone like Jermaine Dupri on, who else has talked about his career. So Tennessee State is really our bright light that we're trying to really push everyone in that direction to show them exactly the example of what Tennessee State's doing and grow it. We're also working closely with Howard University, you know, in our backyard, because they're in our backyard, and Howard's got a tremendous communication area between a television station with HUT, a radio station, HUR, and working closely with them down the road to also create more content. So, you know, we're slowly but surely pushing out what the goal is build ambassadors on each university so that they can begin to be our point people at the university to help us get our drive, our messaging, what we want to do for the university, and what how we need to get stuff provided back to us for the network.
We're speaking with Curtis Simons. He is the co-founder and chief executive of HBCUGo.TV. It's the programming service dealing with more than 100 historically black college universities, sports, entertainment, news, journalism, all sorts of unique programming. The service is currently on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place, and now has a brand new deal under Allen Media Group. It's Byron Allen's latest cog of his media empire that came together last week. And you're hearing Curtis for the first time for many of us since that deal was announced. So we have an inter-radio exclusive going forward. In a moment, I'll ask Curtis what he thinks about the overall TV landscape and the BET TV landscape for African Americans and for all of us. But first, if you have a question or comment on Mini Mix with Curtis, make the call 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04 my name. And coming up for the top of the hour, our classic trivia question of the week in honor of Betty White, the subject of our first half hour. If you're in tune, you get the first with the correct answer, you will win the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook. That's the cookbook based on the iconic 1990s hit movie starring Bette Midler, which, by the way, the sequel is now being made with Midler in the lead for Disney Plus. It'll be on next year. So stay tuned. You could win that book if you're first with the correct answer. Curtis, what do you think of where BET is going? Because now you have BET, BET Plus, there's the new BET Studios venture that's involving Kenya Barris of Blackish fame. What's your thoughts about how BET is doing and where it's going?
Well, I think they're trying to make a good effort to improve the landscape of the brand BET. I think I have to give Scott Mills and his team some credit that I think they ended up, after Bob sold it, you know, it was and Debbie ran it for a while, you know, and then you had the different things that were happening in the, as you call it, in the landscape. You know, you had TV One doing their thing, you had Spy Squire doing this, you know, Bounce coming out doing something. You know, I think now by bringing in Tyler and a few others, they're looking more at more original programming that I think reflects more to us and getting out of the heavy-duty music like it was and really trying to educate more people on, you know, the value of the African-American community as it grows. I think what their main thing that they're trying to do right now is that they're trying to win back over, you know, the African-American audience, because the audience that grew up with them has gotten older. And so now they've had to make a shift to that younger audience and now try to keep that older audience. And I think that's where they've come up with, you know, through the studios, they come up with more original programming, targeted that audience. They're trying to do more things that are directed in that area. And I think they're trying to work on now strongly, trying to figure out how to continue to keep that brand out there, you know, and improve on the brand. So I think they're taking the right steps. You know, now what I think they've got to do on top of it is they've got to put some heavy-duty marketing together that really shows people that they're authentic behind it. And I think if they can do that, I think they'll start getting back some of that audience that they've lost over the years.
What's your thoughts about the total TV landscape and how it's dealing with African-Americans and other communities of color? In the African-American community, it's no longer just BET. It seems it's no longer just BET and TV One. It's Bounce TV. It's All Be Okay. It's Your Service. It's what Byron Allen is doing, what Tyler Perry is doing. It's what all these programming services through smart TV sets and smart devices, many of which are being from independent players, many of which are African-American and other communities of color. And also has, and let's not forget also the fact that you now have all these African-Americans, other people of color launching their own production companies, getting promo development deals with the likes of anyone from Warner Brothers to Netflix to Amazon. We just had the announcement last week of 25 Stories, the new venture with Alex Kurtzman and Jenny Lament, the daughter of Sydney Lament, the granddaughter of Lena Horne. That will be doing shows involving talent of color. It just seems the landscape continues to be growing and growing and growing, and diversity is really expanding with it.
I think it do somewhat of the diversity kick on the content side is beginning to change. I mean, I think people are smelling the need that the landscape has to change. You know, you just can't have the old-fashioned shows that were on there because the audience has changed quite a bit. And when you look at who's watching television now, it's clearly that audience that we're talking about, that multicultural audience, because they're not buying. You're not going out to the big expensive games and all the other stuff. They're watching television or watching the internet, you know, or they're doing it on their phone. So they've got to create content that relates better to this audience. And I think that the studios now have woken up on it. They've seen the success of it on certain shows, and they realize that it's a captive audience. And if you create the right programming and be more authentic behind it, it will get supported. So I think that it's a wake-up call. The thing that is the major concern that I have, you know, with it is keeping the programming authentic to our culture. Too many times that when we've had programming targeted to our audience, it has to shift in a way that it makes us look a certain way. You know, and now I think it's doing a better job of now being more realistic on who we really are and telling real stories. And I think if they continue to do that, you know, that will help grow the content out there. It certainly will help the viewership, you know, and it will make people really realize that, okay, they're being real about what they're programming. So I think that they're moving in the right direction. It goes back to your first question earlier today, is that they just need to spend more money in our community. Bottom line, you know, we're the ones buying and selling, you know, so why not? You know, why do we have to get the dollar? Why can't we get $10 in Byron's preaching? You know, that's the necessity that we got to keep riding.
And one other thing, we are also seeing first-timers of color get the opportunity to create, produce, and in some cases act their own shows. Two great examples of that, Johnson on Bounce TV, which I think is one of the sleeper shows of the year. And Tyler Perry, through a brand new media development fund he is doing, is now starting to give some proteges an opportunity to write and direct and even act in his series for the first time. So, and you're going to see more of that, because the Hollywood Reporter story today about Tyler Perry ceding some of his, you know, control of writing, directing everything he does in television to other people. And you will see more of that, by the way.
That's one of the beauties of HBCU Go TV. I mean, we want to create, through the students at HBCU schools, realistic work situations. We want people behind the camera. We want HBCU talent, you know, doing some of our shows so that they can have the experience. By the time they come out, they've had some experience working in television in real time hours. So they'll be ready to make that next jump if they get an opportunity. I mean, I think it's necessity.
If you want to know more about HBCUGO.TV, here's where you go online. It's pretty simple, HBCUGO.TV. That's HBCUGO.TV, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and now part of Byron Allen's media empire. Curtis Simons, co-founder, chief executive of the service, thank you again for joining us. Always a pleasure. Congratulations on your new alliance with Byron Allen. I know it'll work out great, and we'd love to have you back anytime. And please let Byron know we're waiting to do an interview with him. We'll do an hour, no question. And
right,
it would be an absolute delight to have
him
on.
I'll let him know, Simon. And Simon, thank you very much. I'll let him know, and I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Curtis, anytime. Take care. All the greatest. And again, congratulations on this super deal. It's very special.
All right, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Curtis Simons from HBCUGO.TV joining us live from Chantilly, Virginia. Before the top of the hour, let's give you that classic trivia question of the week, brand new question. And if you're first direct answer, you will win the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook, inspired by the 1990s hit movie, the sequel of which, Hocus Pocus 2, started filming today with Bette Midler in the lead for Disney Plus, hopefully coming out next year. And because of Betty White, who's about to turn 100 in January, the question is for her. Here it is. What was the last TV series Betty White hosted? What was the last TV series Betty White hosted? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer to that question, you will win the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, Play it in. Go for it. Today. Don't wait. And, of course, all the very best. When we come back, we'll pay tribute to two very special TV people, unscripted pioneering TV director Arthur Forrest, an announcer, and late night with David Letterman's sidekick for quite some time, Alan Coulter. Believe it or not, their paths crossed in the 1970s on one daytime game show. We'll tell you all about that in our tribute. That's all coming up after we pause after the top of the hour for web identification. You're listening to www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. You get to reach over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, BTR is your home for the Vibe Radio Network. Check it out tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, the Vibe Radio Network, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final section of Tomorrow Be Televised on this 1st November 2021. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. Well, those of you just joining us at the top of the hour, and you have a question or comment about the world of TV or our subjects coming up, make a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers get anywhere. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And remember, we've got our chat room business. You can still put your question or feedback that way. SimonApple04 is the name of the room, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. In our first half hour, we shared a lot about Betty White with Ray Richmond, the celebrated columnist, reporter for The Hollywood Reporter, now Deadline Hollywood Daily. He's the author of the upcoming book, Betty White, One Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life. Well, there's two other people we want to share some thoughts about today before we wrap it up. One of them is somebody who, like Betty White, had an extraordinary career in television. And he came out of New York. His name was Arthur Forrest. And he had an incredible career that lasted in television, get this, more than 70 years. He directed from the late 1950s to, get this, 2017. He retired at the age of 90. And in between, he had one of the most extraordinary careers off camera that any person directing television would ever have, scripted or unscripted. It all started when Forrest, who was a native New Yorker, got involved in the Dumont Network. It was at the time, in the late 1940s, early 1950s, the fourth television service, the one that was independent. It wasn't owned by ABC, CBS, or NBC. It was all on its own, and it was a very scrappy network. It was a network that really didn't have as big a budget as the other three did, and the service and the shows were produced on the fly, in many cases with a very, very low budget, and not many guest stars, and not many named talents. Forrest started, believe it or not, as a janitor. That's right, a janitor at the Dumont Network. And then he moved up to becoming a cameraman, and he ended up shooting, as a cameraman, one of the great situation comedies of all time, The Honeymooners. Why? Even though it was on CBS for a season of 39 episodes? Well, because, if you ever read the credits, the program was filmed on a very unique process called the Dumont Electrocam TV system. It actually was a way, three cameras, to take live TV programming and, on the spot, make it a film show, even though it was shot before a live audience. Forrest was one of the camera people on The Honeymooners. He shot the classic 39. And when Dumont ended its run in the mid-1950s, Forrest decided to go local with WNEW-TV Channel 5. He became the station's top director. He did everything from children's shows like the long-running Wonderama, which at one time was syndicated to other Metro Media-owned stations around the country, including Los Angeles and St. Louis and Washington, D.C., to Just for Fun, both shows starring Sunny Fox at the beginning, to the controversial David Susskind show that ran for many years in syndication by the famous TV producer and talk show host. In the early 1970s, Forrest made the move to network television, but not before he created another very important alliance in his directing career, an alliance with the Muscular Dystrophy Association and their Labor Day telethon hosted for decades by Jerry Lewis. Arthur Forrest had a 40-year run directing every minute of those Labor Day telethons, starting at, in the beginning, 10:30 p.m. at night and running till 6:30 the following evening. And then later on, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, again going to 6:30. It was an amazing 40-year run, under which every episode, every telethon, directed by Forrest, cumulatively, would raise over $2 billion for the Muscular Dystrophy Association and making a huge difference for the thousands of people in the United States and around the world suffering from the more than 40 neuromuscular diseases. Along the way, Forrest moved from New York to Las Vegas. But before he made the move west, Forrest continued to do television on the national level in New York. First, he did the Dick Cavett Show for ABC. Then he did daytime television with a show called The Money Maze, hosted by Nick Clooney, who later became a newscaster in Ohio and ultimately one of the co-hosts of American Movie Classics when it had hosts. Oh, and the announcer on that show, The Money Maze, was a man who we'll talk about in a little bit, named Alan Coulter, who was on the move to try to become both a game show host and announcer and later became one of the top announcers in all of television. More about Alan Coulter, who passed away recently, in a few minutes. Forrest continued with shows like The Money Maze and other game shows and talk shows in the New York area. And then in the mid-1970s, he made the move full-time to Los Angeles and Hollywood, where he continued to do both primetime, special, and daytime unscripted programming of all kinds. For example, he was the person that was the director of a show that was controversial at the time, back from 1980-1984 on ABC called That's Incredible. Nobody had ever seen a show like it before, put together by Al Landsberg, the protege of David Wolper on many of his documentaries and documentary series. Landsberg created a program that featured so studio segments and on-location segments showing incredible feats, a la Ripley's Believe It or Not, some of which the audience members tried to do, and that's when they had controversy over the fact that there was concern about the home audience trying these stunts without parental or supervision. That's Incredible ran on TV for four seasons, hosted by John Davidson, Kathy Lee Crosby, and Fran Tarkenton, a great trio matchup. And Forrest directed every episode, not to mention a spinoff that ran on ABC Sunday nights called Those Amazing Animals. And Forrest continued to do more shows in primetime and daytime. In daytime, he did the talk show Lisa with Lisa Gibbons, formerly of Entertainment Tonight, and the early seasons of the Rosie O'Donnell Show, which became a daytime TV phenomenon with that popular host and former comedian. And there was also other shows like the annual Tournament of Roses Parade and, on some years, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And in his latter years, he did a little thing called Whose Line Is It Anyway, bringing that popular British show to life in America with many of the people in the original cast and host Drew Carey. Yes, he directed the episodes that Wayne Brady became an Emmy Award winner for supporting actor in a comedy series and ultimately one of TV's most popular talents, both in daytime and primetime. Arthur Forrest ultimately would build a career where he would get 17 Emmy Award nominations and won three, one for Lisa, one for the Rosie O'Donnell Show, and the third for the Tournament of Roses Parade. And as I said before, Arthur Forrest continued to be a top television director for both daytime and primetime television programming, unscripted all the way, until the age of 90 in 2017, when he retired. Oh, incidentally, his wife, Marcy, was for many years the talent coordinator of the Jerry Lewis Telethon, responsible for all those talents. And yes, it was Arthur Forrest who directed that one of the great moments of telethon history and TV history when Jerry Lewis reunited, thanks to Frank Sinatra, with his former partner in comedy, movies and nightclubs, and television's early days, Dean Martin. It was one of the great moments in television that year, and yes, of all time. And you still can see it on YouTube. Arthur Forrest passed away this weekend at the age of 95. He was one of the great directing talents of all time in television, and like Betty White, had an extraordinary pioneering career, where he was, from first to last, on the forefront of TV's existence and development over the decades. He leaves behind his wife, Marcy, a great family, some of whom have followed his footsteps into television in various roles off camera. And he also leaves behind peers in the industry who see him as one of the greatest in his field. After all, you don't win 17 Emmy nominations and 3 Emmy Awards and a Directors Guild Award nomination for doing zip work. Anytime Arthur Forrest directed a show, you knew it was going to be well-directed technically. You knew he was going to give his talent in front of the camera all the space they needed to make it great. And more often than not, they did. Now, I mentioned that early on in Forrest's national directing career, he did a game show called The Money Maze. And it was that program that gave an announcer on the rise a break in national television by the name of Alan Coulter. Earlier, Coulter, under another last name, tried to break in as a game show host. He actually did a pilot at the CBS Broadcast Center in New York, and a very good pilot. You can see it right now, thanks to Wink Martindale's wonderful game show site on YouTube. And he was quite good. In fact, it's very surprising once you see the pilot that the show never went to series. Could have. It had a great question-answer concept, had some good money for the contestants to win, and it was very well directed and produced. Anyway, Alan Coulter got his start on The Money Maze, and later he went on to do other New York-based productions, including, in the last year of its syndicated run, To Tell the Truth, starring Joe Caragiola. That's the kind of voice he had. He always had a fun voice, lilting, excitement, fun, really made the show work. He also did the revival of To Tell the Truth in the early 1980s with Robin Ward for a season. Yep, Alan Coulter, without leaving the Big Apple, had a pretty good time being one of the top announcers in the business. At one point, he was the voice for many years of the USA Network. He was the voice of Sports Channel America, did other shows on the local level. And then he got another big break. And that was when, for the second time in his career, he replaced Bill Wendell as the announcer on Late Show with David Letterman, after Wendell's incredible career being the announcer first for Late Night on NBC, and then when he moved to CBS and went 11:30 Eastern time at night, Late Show. And when Alan Coulter came on, Letterman had some ideas about how to use that announcer and use him regularly. He used him in all sorts of sketches, and Coulter became a super night sensation. You never knew on any given night what Alan Coulter was going to do beyond just announcing David Letterman, and so on and so forth. And whatever he did it with gusto. He did it with a lot of fun, a twinkle in his eye and his hair, and just let it all rip. Alan Coulter left The Late Show when David Letterman left The Late Show some years ago, and he called it a career then. He had been in bad health the last couple of years, and he passed away in October, just as Arthur Forrest did. Coulter was a really marvelous talent. You could tell he was always up, never let his guard down or his excitement down for being part of game shows or any other shows he was involved with. He did the USA Network proud, gave Sports Channel America its voice, and ultimately proved to be a wonderful foil for David Letterman and for us watching him and always wondering, like, what is Alan Coulter going to do now? And boy, he turned out to be a very special announcer and much, much more. He leaves behind a great family, and he leaves behind millions of people who enjoyed his voice and his face and his talent for many, many years. And obviously with many Late Show episodes or segments on YouTube, the rest of us who didn't get a chance to see Alan Coulter in action will. And, of course, you can also see some of his episodes with Joe Caragiola and with Robin Ward also on YouTube as well, in those versions of the classic game show To Tell the Truth. Arthur Forrest, Alan Coulter, two wonderful talents who made their mark on and off camera in big ways as part of television's landscape. And they will certainly, in their respective roles, great roles, be missed to the hilt. Before we leave you, I want you to know that a few minutes ago, I learned that last week there was a story that nobody was following that should be followed. It involves Roku. And the thing is that last week, Roku had a conference for developers. And as part of that conference, they launched an independent developer kit. And the whole idea of this kit is for developers to play around with possible applications for Roku. And I'm not talking about programming. I'm talking about interactive services, from games to traffic to getting your calendar of activity and appointments and cancellations on your television set at any given time, even to create very unusual use of the smart home to tie you in with your thermostat or your microwave oven. We're going to try to get the person that was in part involved, the Roku executive, with this developer conference and this independent developer kit on our program in the near future. We tried to make contact by email with Roku's PR people before we went on the air. I hope, keep your fingers crossed, we'll get this on. This development, by the way, should have been covered by the Tech Trade Press. And it goes to show that Roku is making a big move into interactive television and interactive programming and content and services. They currently, by the way, take Food Network Kitchen. They have some casual games available through a number of different providers. And it sounds like there's more to come on the interactive side from Roku. We will keep you posted. Again, big thank you to Curtis Simons of HBCUGo.TV and with Ray Richmond, the author of the best-selling new book in the works. Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life book comes out December 7th. Again, you can pick up your copies, pre-order them through Amazon.com. And don't forget, 1 week from today, we'll offer that book as a classic trivia question prize. One final time, here's that question for this week and the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook. What was the last TV series Betty White hosted? What was the last TV series Betty White hosted? Incidentally, she won 3 consecutive Emmy Award nominations for that hosting role. Again, if you know the answer, don't wait. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple0@yahoo.com. Make sure you include your name and your email address, your mailing address. That's your mailing address. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll get the question to you tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon. TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, get in the game today. And, of course, all the very best. One more thing before we leave you. Tomorrow, here in New York City, New Jersey, Virginia, other parts of the country, it is Election Day. And if you listen to the Marvel Televised regularly around this time of year, you know it's been our tradition on the Monday, the day before Election Day, whether it's a national situation or statewide situations or local situations, we encourage you to exercise your right to vote. And more than ever before, it's important you do it, and you do it in person. And if you do, please be great with the people who are manning the polls all over the place. They're taking their time to make sure that your vote counts. So please give them great, tremendous courtesy and respect. It's worth it. And again, we encourage you to exercise your right to vote. If you think about not voting, remember this. There are people in this world who are fighting and dying for what you can do tomorrow where you are. They don't have the right to vote. You do. Exercise it. And then see your vote count. And once again, do it in person. Make a statement for that, that in-person voting, we want to see election night matter, where we have winners. And we don't wait a week, a month, a year to determine what happens. So vote, go in person, and be great with the people who man the polls near you. Thanks again to all of our guests for being here and all of you for tuning in. Remember, coming up on Friday's episode, we will have from Lifetime's new movie revival of the Michael Landon series Highway to Heaven, executive producer and co-writer Catherine Humphreys and co-writer Angelica Cherry. And from Supergirl, which is wrapping up its run later this month on the CW, co-star Azee Tesfaye. If you came in late on today's program or you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, the iRadio Podcast Network, Verbal, Reason, Speaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, iRadio.com, as well as on Apple TV and our special website, Tomorrow We Televise at podsite.io. That's tomorrowwetelevise.podsite.io. We'd love to hear what you think about our program. What's your thoughts about Betty White and about HBCU TV, HBCU.TV, and about the world of TV in general, where it's at and where it's going? Love to hear you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. In addition to using it also for your comments generally and for our classic trivia question, you can also use that for our Show to Know segment. Remember, is there a show you like that deserves more attention that you're watching? Well, we want to give it that attention. We've got to hear from you. And when we do, you get the credit if we use a suggestion on the air. Once again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And wherever you get, you communicate with us, we communicate back. Why? Because, as always, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toews, BTR's general manager, Jay Steinberg, is head of content. Website maintenance is provided by PodSite, the Internet's new podcast destination. For more, you go to podsite.io. That's podsite.io. Our web coordinator is Gintaris Bakus. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free ebook or two and much more, makes a great gift for you or someone you love, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Verbal, Reason, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe. Please make it great. And if you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor. Find out where your medical history lies and where your current medical conditions stand. And then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.